Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Good to be back, Joe. Lots to get to.
Good to have you back.
It's a Wednesday. Feels like a Monday for me. Simultaneously feels like a Thursday for me. I don't know. Every day to me feels like Thursday. Like I'm just like, oh, you're so close to the weekend. I think it's nice weather.
I'd rather every day feel like Thursday than Tuesday.
I like the temps that we're seeing, you know, 90 degrees today. It's going to feel like above 90 on Wednesday. See, that's me thinking it's Monday, projecting 2 days out and calling it Wednesday. On Friday, expecting temperatures around 90, and then the heat bringing it to mid-90s. I like a couple days like that. Like I like a little midsummer heat wave to get out there and really sweat it out.
You will never hear me complain about heat.
You can't. You only really get a few days of it.
Yeah.
You want the cold? We have the cold.
We have cold.
We have. You want
in the studio
temperatures?
More...
Yeah. You want temperatures in the teens?
Come work here.
We'll give you that for like a month straight.
Yeah. I'm not. There's ways to cool down. I am not complaining about the heat at all. I've got my 70 SPF ready to go. Bring the heat.
70 SPF. I'm a little sunburned. I don't, when we were out, we're in beautiful Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, always get sunburned
there. A little on the chest. Got a little sunburned.
You went to the sandbar?
No, we were out at the Waldemere, the theme park, hanging out at the splash pad and got a little sunburn there.
So, you know. Go back down in the winter, go to Splash Lagoon?
Not there yet. Not with a 3-year-old and 6 months is not exactly Splash Lagoon time.
All right, I'll make a note.
Just send them down the water slide. Yeah, probably not a great idea.
I want the excuse for me to go to Splash Lagoon, as I keep saying. Like that's the there's a lot of positives of having kids, but the one positive, Splash Lagoon. That's my excuse. That's my ticket in, my son.
I don't think you need an excuse to go there.
As an adult?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're built for everybody.
I thought it was built for kids.
There's like a bar in the middle of it.
At Splash Lagoon?
Yeah. A bar is not built for kids.
There's a bar in the middle of Splash Lagoon?
Last time I was there, I remember it being... It's like an adults-only outdoor like hot tub area.
Oh, my God. You learn something every day, Brian.
Do it. If you want to go do something, do it.
I thought it was just like a water discovery zone.
No. No, there's a lot more to it than that. But anyways, had a nice time out.
Glad you did.
See, my first thing out on vacation, I left here on Friday and saw Oppenheimer, and I liked it a lot. I thought it was a little misleading, though. So if you're excited, you're going to see this movie. I feel like it should be known. Like, I don't know how many people know it's 3 hours before, but I feel like it should be stressed upon. Like, I got out of it. I love the movie, but I got out of it saying, I think a lot of people are going to come out of this saying, like, oh, that movie stunk. Because it's, you look at all the trailers, and it kind of feels like this big, you know, Hollywood summer action thriller type of movie when you look at the trailers. It is very much a 3 hour long, like, historical drama. Pretty darn accurate historical drama from everything I've read in the past. Like I think they did a pretty good job of sticking with the script, so to speak, that was already out there. But I feel like people are walking out of that. Now, a lot of people like it. I think it's getting good reviews, but I do think there's probably a segment of people who walk out of that being like, wasn't exactly what I was expecting.
Well,
it was great, though.
You know it must stick to the script if the one thing people are pointing out is they used the wrong flags in the movie. Then, obviously, a lot of the other things must be close to accurate, and it must have been entertaining.
It was awesome. Like, they were, Matt Damon was in it.
Oh.
Who played Leslie Groves. And that got, like, a lot of attention before. Like, oh, big act, Hollywood star, and you have him. But I thought he was perfect in the role. Like, everything I've read about Groves was he was, like, the embodiment of Foghorn Leghorn. Like, just this, over-the-top, like, big character with a lot of personality. And it's like, yeah, you kind of want, like, a big Hollywood star to be in there. The movie, though, like, I got out the end of it, and it wants to, like, make the case of Oppenheimer as maybe the most important person who ever lived. And I wonder if that's... I think it's a good case. But I wonder if that's true. And I wonder if that'll change, like, in the near future, if you do think that's true. So the Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, who, you know, created the idea, he, along with others, like, it's not like he was the only person trying to unlock this. Or maybe it's not like he was the only person who could have done this. But he was the guy who created the ability for, you know, basically mankind to destroy itself with nuclear weapons. And he brought it from a concept to reality, as evidenced twice in Japan at the end of the war. Does that make him the most important person of all time?
I mean, at a time he was, right? I mean, he was important in moving
forward. We would still be. And we're still living
in
the nuclear age. We're still talking about nuclear weapons right now when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. There's still this, I don't want to call it a fear, but there's this general, like, cloud over any conflict of what could potentially happen. What could potentially happen is a city, a country, the world just gets wiped out because of this thing that was the creation of, you know, a lot of people, but one person who, you know, was called the father of the atomic bomb. Like, there is a definite before him and there's an after him, and they are two totally separate periods of time.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not many people you can say that about.
That's a very good argument. It's a very good, like you said, I mean, it's literally changed how we approach certain situations because of that fear.
It's changed everything. I mean, there was before him and after him. And after him, what you have is the, you know, that, think of how many people would have used that ability before Oppenheimer. Throughout the course of history, after him, you have this ability to just wipe out, like I said, a city, a nation. I mean, the world, how many times over? With, you know, in a matter of minutes, in an afternoon's worth. And how many people can you really say that about in the course of human history that had a distinct before you and after you? Right? Like, I mean, there's the literal, like, in Christianity, Jesus, I mean,
BC.
we're still going before Christ in the year of our Lord. Like, that's literally how people count time. So, like, there's that. But in modern history, are there many of those people? There really aren't.
No, I am struggling to find someone who, as you said, I mean, literally changed strategies for every nation in the world. I mean, changed the strategy. And you don't have to have a nuclear weapon to change your strategy. But the way you approach another country might change if you know they have a stockpile of nuclear weapons, which didn't exist before Oppenheimer.
So he might be the most important. Maybe Truman is the most important person in the history of the world because he used it. If you have this technology and it's never used,
we were the first to use it.
Is it that important?
One World War II.
I don't know. It brings up a lot of good, interesting questions, I think, that were pretty fun.
You've just sold me on watching the movie.
Is the person, you'll hate it, I think. But I don't know. You have weird tastes. So
you don't think I'll like it?
I really can't tell.
See, that's good.
Do you have the attention span to sit through a 3-hour
movie, Joe? I love The Wolf of Wall Street.
I can't tell with you. Your tastes, like, are...
I'm a man of mystery.
Yeah, you so many different things. Will the person who is responsible... the person behind ChatGPT... Like, are we going to look at that person or team of people one day and say the same thing? Mm. I think you might.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be good.
There's a clear before. Will there be a clear after where, you know, we just never imagined life without this technology was something completely different?
Yeah. I had a job before, and I'm struggling to find work after. I mean, for some people, that is reality.
Well, your job will completely change. You can use this in every aspect of life. Yep. Maybe there's that. 9/11 is one of those moments. There's a clear before.
Oh, yes.
There's a clear after. In, you know, just the way we do almost everything. Security, intelligence, you name it. a clear before, a clear after. Not many of those moments just in modern history in general, though. So I thought it was a good movie. I thought it you know, made that argument.
And the IMAX was spectacular?
It was. It's. I would recommend people, and you know, I love all the little theaters out there and everything, but I would recommend the IMAX strictly for that reason of, listen, I mean, look around you. Look, if you're sitting around, you're listening to this waiting in a doctor's office somewhere. What's everybody doing? They're on their phones, right? Like, everybody has the attention span of a goldfish now. In the IMAX, you can't take your eyes off the screen. The screen is humongous. There's literally nothing to grab your attention away. I think I saw a tweet. Elon Musk, like, tweeted. Was this a real one? A picture of himself, like, scrolling TikTok while in a theater. Very rude to do. But he was in the back of a regular movie theater, and that, like, kind of solidified to me, okay, you gotta see this in the IMAX, because this guy's just, his brain's getting all rattled, looking around, getting distracted by every little thing.
And it's not a possibility in the IMAX.
It really isn't. Unless you are a jerk and take out your phone during the movies.
Yeah, I have to say, as someone who is on their phone a lot, the times I'm at a theater, I've never thought to bring out my phone once the movie starts. That's inconsiderate of all those around you.
I've done it before.
Well,
when I was a teenager, you're in the movie theaters, take out the thing, flip it open. You're texting someone, you know, just to let them know, like, what's going on. Movie. I've done it before. We used to go to the movies and see like two or three of them in a row. You'd map it out in the paper.
You pay for the tickets?
You'd pay for a ticket.
Oh.
And you'd map it out. You see, all right, this one ends, this one begins, and you bounce around the theaters. And every once in a while, you know, you'd have to, oh yeah, I'm going to be like 20 minutes late for my shift. Sorry. I'm going to see Walk Hard.
For the times that I go to the theater, and again, I wish I go to a, I do actually like, once I'm in the theater, I go, oh yeah, I do like going to movies. But my rule in the theater is my rule at the gym. You text me while I'm at a movie, you text me when I'm at the gym. You get the text once I'm done. I'm not putting everything aside to text you back.
Yeah, now it's different.
Yeah.
I think, like, once the phone became this huge bright screen.
Another TV, yeah.
It's, you can't, absolutely no, you know, it's zero tolerance at the movie theater. Or if, like, you think someone might have a really good reason to reach you, you have to take it outside. Like, you have to leave. But with the flip phone, it was kind of easy to be like, no one can see, you know, this tiny little blue dot that's in my hands. You were able, and you were, you know, I was like 15 years old. So
right, and on your third movie.
Cut me some slack.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'll go to Rich in Lakeview. Rich, what'd you think of the movie?
Good morning. First of all, I'm a generation older than you guys, though I religiously listen to you guys every morning.
Well, thank you, Rich.
But, real seriously, but you are showing your age of the, I guess, the tail end or the burgeoning of the TikTok generation. I think Oppenheimer should be required watching for everyone. I mean, they call him, you know, like Frankenstein was the modern Prometheus. This is the guy who gave, you know, the gods who gave fire to the world. I mean, there's a before and after. Was he the only guy? But when I hear you come up and say it's a three-hour movie where you have to pay attention to it because it's very verbal, we pay $15.50 just to get into the movie. You bring a date, it's $32. You buy a popcorn and a beverage, you need a co-signer, all right? And it's just like, pay attention. You know, Barbie's number one movie in the country. Looks great to me. I haven't seen it. But from the previews, it looks like an hour and a half long TikTok video.
Rich, don't you think people need that warning, though? I think people need the warning. You look around, it doesn't matter. You mentioned the price of a movie. Go to any game. You go to a hockey game, a football game. What do you see around you?
Everybody's on their phone. I went to go see Indiana Jones, which I thought was actually pretty good because it's a nice coda, puts a closure on it. The guy's 80. It's the end of a generational superhero. Okay, you know, we do that stuff. Within 3 minutes, you saw anybody under 25 on their phone. you know, because, oh, you have to pay attention to this. Oh, and it's in the 60s, and it wraps around July 20th, 1969, when we landed on the moon. Oh, I just got a phone. I got to see. I mean, I teach. That's why I have the luxury of being off in the summer. And I did this. I said, name me the Erie County executive. Very few. I go, name me all the Kardashian sisters, plus their, and plus the Jenner, and the kids could rattle them off, boy, girl, do whatever. So it's kind of a sad state of affair where I actually have to pay attention to something, and it's looked at as a negative. I mean, if we you know, want mindless fodder, I guess we can watch you know, the Shopping Network or something. Yeah.
Oh,
like
there's plenty out there, Rich.
I know it's sad. I mean, is it different? If people thought it was going to be Fast and Furious atomic bomb, they're wrong. You know, but I mean, I thought the movie was great. You just walk out of there, and if you give any kind of thought, it's just like, wow. And I think it's indicative of, you know, you're talking about the blizzard and how many people are saying in this report that we didn't know the blizzard was coming. You guys, anyone else, but with the modern age and cell phones, you can cocoon yourself in only the things that you want to see. And if you listen to a radio station, you know, look through their website, there wasn't even some radio stations, because they're national, didn't even have a warning. So, I mean, who would respond? So it's like, hey, it's a before and after. And, we kind of just live with it. It's like having clothes on. It's on all day. We don't feel it. And, you know, any moment we can get a crazy guy to drop a bomb. And, but if you think about that every day, how do you live a regular life?
Yeah, that's right. Rich, I have to cut you off before you take one of our jobs, because no one else could so perfectly set us up for the rest of the show, which was, all right, so there's a before and after. That's an important is underselling it. It's an incredible event in human history. And there's a clear before, a clear after. A lot of people went and saw that movie over, the long weekend, or still seeing it in the theaters now. The blizzard, is that a point in Buffalo history where there's a before and there's an after? Because it should be. It should be. When you have that many people die in a blizzard in 2022... it should be a point where something pivots and there's some sort of change in the way that we operate, the way we view a big storm, a nasty forecast, that there's a clear after, there's a clear difference in the way we carry ourselves after the fact. Will it be? What should it look like? And if you've read the report, if you listened to the interview earlier this morning, what do you make of some of the things that have been found over the last, I mean, we're now 7 months removed from the blizzard? What do you make of some of these findings?
Brian, I've read through this report twice now to make sure that I haven't read something wrong or read it the wrong way or missed anything. I mean, again, I think it takes another look through just to let it all sink in. The number one thing, and Rich is right, I mean, blame government entities all you want, and definitely we will focus a little bit on that. But you also have to say, why are people ignoring the warnings? I mean, Brian, for a week on this station, we were saying it's going to be the storm of a generation. Why did so many people ignore that call? And is it true? I mean, were there people that didn't know that we were calling for a storm of this severity? I think very much so, because not everyone tunes into the news regularly. I have to be honest. If I didn't work at WBEN, I probably wouldn't be watching the news every day, right? So some of it is on, did you go out when you knew we were going to get blasted with a blizzard? Were you one of the people at the grocery store 30 minutes before it closed, knowing there's a driving ban? I think those are questions that you have to ask yourself. And why don't we respond as we should when they're saying this is going to be bad?
Yeah, I think of it a little bit differently. I don't think you have to not pay attention to have been caught up in this or to not real. I think you could have listened. You could have had us on 24/7. You could have been listening to us and watching a local news channel 24/7. You could have seen every single warning. You could have read the forecast every day from the National Weather Service and still found yourself not prepared for what comes next. I think that is what we have to look at in terms of changing going forward. And we'll be talking about it next, taking your calls 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer at WBEN. Back here, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer here with you. And, you know, will there be a before and an after Blizzard of 22? We were talking earlier this morning about this report from USA Today. It really goes in depth into some of the Blizzard response and especially some of the Blizzard stories, one story in particular, Andel Taylor, who passed away during the Blizzard, and what her and her family went through in those hours, you know, alone in the middle of the one of the fiercest storms we've ever seen. And, you know, what needs to change going forward? Joe, we talked to the author of this report earlier. We spoke with Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown earlier this morning. And still not a lot has changed in my head about like some of the key facts that I don't really think are addressed a ton. And one of those I asked the author of the story about is, did they look into or pay any attention to the 17th of December? The 17th of December. Because that was only less than a week before this blizzard hit. And the forecast for the 17th of December was a pretty bad one. It was snow that was difficult to nearly impossible to drive through, whiteout conditions, you know, big snowfall rates. It was being advertised as a major, major storm. And do you know what we did, Joe? I drove you back from the Bills game that night, right in the middle of that storm. So did thousands of other people. And, you know, we saw kind of the right, and there was snow. Yeah, absolutely. There was snowstorm. There was difficult driving at times. I remember going to the stadium, icy roads, like in spots that you really had to watch out for because of some of the falling, freezing rain. But it was something we had mostly dealt with before if you've lived in Western New York for some time. And it was something that was, you know, heavily advertised. You know, you mentioned before, you know, talked about the week of. The entire week we were talking about snow and a lot of it coming during this game, and the stadium still sold out and people still drove to and from the stadium, whether that was a good decision or not, and kind of went on with our lives. So then the next day and the next day, when you start hearing about another storm coming the next weekend, I don't necessarily think it matters what language you use. You mentioned generational. Later in the week, that was used, right? I think the words were, it has the potential to be a generational storm. Right. I still think those words fall flat on the heels of a storm that you'd forecast to be a pretty severe snowstorm that we all kind of went through like a normal snowstorm here in Buffalo. It's not so much the words. It's the way the messaging gets out here. All winter long, I mean, here on this show, on this radio station, we will give you the up-to-date information on what's going to happen with the weather. And we did those 2 weeks. Told you all leading up to the weekend of the 17th about the snow that was coming. And then we told you about the snow and the bomb cyclone potential that was coming the next weekend. I don't think, though, that there was a way with words, with our normal way of doing things, to accurately describe, to get across to people how different that snowstorm would be from what you experienced 6 days ago, from what people have experienced in the past. There needed to be a push, and here's where government comes in. There needed to be a push notification sent out to every phone the way an Amber Alert was.
Yeah.
To tell people to stay inside, to not try and go out during this storm because we would not be able to get to you in time. Roads would be impassable. There needed to be the emergency alert system that gets, you know, tested all the
time.
Once
a week.
We don't have control. You know, this is, here's a little behind the scenes. We don't get to just play that. And say, you know, when there's a severe storm that comes through, we don't get to decide, oh, Joe, you know, hit hit the sounder, you know, to really let everyone know how severe this is. That's not up to us.
No, and that's important. We test it just to make sure it can take over the radio station. Because, again, like Brian said, that's not up to this radio station. That is up to, I believe, a government entity that can alert that. The only reason we test it is just to make sure that box in there can take over the station if needed. And that didn't happen.
It's almost the way why I say, you know, go see Oppenheimer in the IMAX. Or, you know, I feel like it was a little misleading, the trailers, because what you get into is a very dialogue-heavy, three-hour historical drama. I loved it. Joe, that's not for everybody.
Right.
You know, people are going to be leaving that like, whoa, you know, that was a lot to take in. Sometimes people talk so much, or there's you read something that's, you know, very long, it's so dense that your mind starts to wander. You stop paying attention after a while. That's what I think happened to a lot of people during the Christmas blizzard of last year. We had already gone through a major snowstorm in November. We had gone through, just a week before, a forecast of a major snowstorm hitting Buffalo. And here was another one. Eventually, all these words start to sound the same. And even if you slip in a potential to be generational, bomb cyclone, you're just, all right, yeah, snow again. This weekend, we get it. You know, I'll make sure Grandma has a ride or something like that, so she doesn't have to drive herself.
And Brian, I will say, I'm just as guilty. The morning of the storm, the 23rd, you were off that day, so the 9 o'clock show was me, and then I was scheduled to do 10 o'clock at night for special coverage. And again, we've been talking about it all week. Tim gave me the equipment to do the show from home. What did I do? Stupidly, I drove into work, and what happened? I ended up getting stuck. And this, you know, this is, again, we talked about it all week. We had Andy Parker on, Aaron Mitkowski on, the National Weather Service on, every day pounding home that this is going to be a generational storm. But like Brian said, after so many warnings, it is, there's going to be snow this weekend. You know, I was planning to do the show at 9 o'clock and finish my Christmas shopping. You know what I mean? I mean, that is the mindset of someone who, for every hour I was here, was talking about the snowstorm. And again, that's my fault. That's personal responsibility. I didn't take the warning as I should have and got myself stuck here. You know, luckily, we were able to make the most of having everyone stuck here. But that's what happened. And I can understand other people. I was telling you off air, 1:30, I was at the Tops down the street before they closed it too. Again, hours after the driving ban. And the place was packed. There were lines to check out before they closed at 2 o'clock. And this is as the snow's coming down, because people had not listened to that warning and they couldn't be stuck at home for days without food.
I don't want to blame people for not listening to the warning. Like that's what I always kind of come back to is the bottom line when it comes to the blizzard.
I am blaming myself. I obviously should have taken a better listen to what we were saying.
But I don't want to blame people for listening to, we have blizzard experience. You remember the one winter, there were two blizzards. I mean, actual, you know, bona fide blizzards in one season. There was the one with the dual lake effect bands. You remember?
2007?
No, this would have been like 2010, 2009. Okay. No. This would have been 2013. Sorry. 2013 winter, and there were, you know, a dual lake effect band blizzard where the, you know, the bands kept oscillating, moving up and down and just hammering us with snow. And I went around the corner to take a break, you know, during when I took like an afternoon break and came back. I was over at my now wife, then girlfriend's mother's house around the corner from the station. And I drove in like the whiteout condition, like you couldn't see anything in the whiteout conditions back around the corner. You know, if I didn't know where I was going, I wouldn't know where I was going. Back to the station. I thought, no way am I ever doing that again. I cannot drive in that. But I did it and I made it through. And like that was the worst of the worst. I thought it was literally a blizzard, you know, by the meteorological definition. And I thought that was the worst you could really experience being out. So people have experienced it before. I don't want to blame people for hearing another forecast, another serious forecast, and thinking it's something they've experienced before. What needed to happen was a different way. It wasn't the words. It wasn't the communication. There needed to be a different means of communication, a different vessel to deliver those words in to really convey the seriousness of this. And that's where I feel that all of this failed before you even get to what's outlined in this report, where, you know, they're talking about a lot about the 911 system, its failures, a lot about drivers who are trapped in their cars, who are unable to get help. 1,000 calls for help via 911 went unanswered for days. Before you even get to that, I think there was a failure in recognizing the need to change things up so people understood the severity.
The warning had to sound different on the 23rd than it did the 17th. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it, you can parse words and say, well, it did. We said this instead of this. No. I mean, think about
words
it.
Words are words. Like, as you said, words are words.
Think about the last caller. You can name the Kardashians, you can't name the county executive. Like, think of how people, think of the cell phones that he saw in the Oppenheimer movie. Think of how people are paying attention.
Yeah.
They're not. How do you get them to pay attention?
And, you know,
that needs to be what's talked about.
I've had an Amber Alert wake me up at 3 in the morning. And I'm not, you know, for Pennsylvania, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the same thing should have happened here in Buffalo on December 23rd, and the EAS should have been enacted. However, Brian, I 100% agree with you. We get into this article, and it does show the failures. I think for some failures we already knew, right? I mean, we talked about for days after the storm, why did it take the National Guard so long to be called into Western New York? I think there's not one entity of government, state, county, or city, that can look at this and not make the adjustments needed for the next blizzard.
So there's one, right? I mean, if you're going to look at the report and kind of take some things from that, where were some of the failures? That one to me is glaring. The, you know, there's 10, is that yeah. what it said in the report?
10
National Guard members who were in the area. It took somebody from Washington reaching out to the county to kind of say, like, hey, do you need any additional resources? The county replying back. Mark Poloncarz replying back in this email that's in the report. This is serious. I know that the, you know, National Guard doesn't take snowstorms as serious. We only have 10 guardsmen working. I'm not sure why more have not reported. He said FEMA doesn't think snow events are disaster worthy, but this is a major disaster. This is a major disaster. He wrote back, and that's on December 25th, and that's when, for the most part, the snow part of this was
yeah.
pretty much done.
I went home the afternoon of the 25th.
But that kind of shows where there might have been a lack of communication. I don't know how much communication you necessarily expect or what we should be expecting in these scenarios. Like, should we have expected the White House to be in the loop on the storm response? Like, maybe in retrospect, obviously, but I don't know if in the days leading up, that's something that you necessarily would have said, well, we got to get Washington on this.
Maybe not Washington, but I do think the days leading up, the county, the biggest city in the county and the state should have been on the same page. And according to this report, they were not. And we saw that in the middle of the storm, illustrated on national television, that these three entities did not know what the other was doing. And I think that is another problem that sounds like it's being addressed, but definitely needs to be addressed before winter 23 comes. I think that is a huge problem. The problem we discussed, number one, obviously before all of this, but the days leading up, the fact that these three, the state, the city and the county were not on the same page, were not communicating as effectively as they could, I do think is an issue that definitely needs to be addressed between the three leaders.
And I just don't know enough about emergency management to know how much of a difference that would have made.
I'm not going to pretend I do either.
But like that's why it's tough for me to wrap my head around, you know, what really matters at the end of the day, what would have done. If there was perfect, crystal clear communication, if everyone was in the same room, if the fire commissioner was here and not in Florida during the blizzard, who was, you know, the taking that role as, you know, quote unquote, emergency manager in the city of Buffalo, would things have been different? We were told so many times during the blizzard that the roads were impassable. I mean, you literally could not get a plow out there. You could not send people out there to make a rescue, to make a house call. For the first time in Buffalo's history, right? You could not make a house call in a fire engine. Would that have changed? It sounds like it wouldn't have changed if there was better communication. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't know enough about emergency management to fully say either way. It would have been nice to have everyone together. I don't know if it changes that much. I do know it changes a ton if you convey that message strongly early.
Now, Brian, you know, people say things, but what sticks out to me is the show on the 26th. I was doing the afternoon show on the 26th after the storm, and someone had called about how different emergency vehicles could have been strategically placed throughout Erie County. Now, again, what does that mean once the snow starts falling? Maybe it's a moot point. But that could have been something that could have been coordinated from the three levels of government. And I think that's just one of many examples of if they were on the same page leading up, as the investigation said at the end, could deaths have been prevented? Again, that's a question that I can't answer. I don't think Brian can answer. But I do think that the communication needs to be better between three entities of government. Maybe it means nothing. But like I said, that call sticks out. That different emergency vehicles could have been strategically placed throughout Western New York, and they weren't on December 23rd.
In the report, they do say, and I think it's important to point, it's unclear. This is reading directly from this report, which, by the way, you can see the link to at WBEN.com. It's unclear how many of the dozens of others who died could have been saved through improved cooperation
Yes.
between local, state, and federal emergency responders, as well as better coordination of 911 dispatch operations, the USA Today network investigation found. Again, unable to really see what that impact would have been.
No, true. But you'd rather not have that question, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Would that have been the call? As you station people around Western New York, you know, strategically station. Again, you ask the question, what difference would that have made?
Once the snow starts falling, you're right. I mean, that again, is a glaring question that if the communication was there, we'd know the answer. And you know what? Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. But at least there would have been the attempt, you know what I mean, to have people that could respond more spread out before the snow started falling.
If there's greater communication, are we operating under a better 911 system? Like that to me is a good question to, you know, would there have been more calls answered?
Would the EAS test EAS gone off?
That's the again, we'll keep coming back to that. We have the software, the systems in place to send out these emergency alerts. Will that happen in the future? And like that, you know, to go to there's a before and there's an after. Is there a before and an after in the storm where after we're talking about a serious storm? And you can't overuse it, right? Like you can't just put it out for whatever. Again, like the Amber Alert question, when you're putting out an Amber Alert at 2:30 in the morning for somebody missing out of Pennsylvania, and most people are in their beds, you're going to have a lot of people, I hate to say it, ignore the Amber Alert next time. Because what are you going to do? Look out the window? I didn't see the truck. Like, in all reality, I mean, it's a great idea. It's hopefully helping save lives. But maybe it should be on active phones or phones that don't have Do Not Disturb on or something like that. Because people will eventually tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? So you send it out there and you have people pay attention and not tune it out. And that's what I'm hoping the after is.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we finally discover someone actually sending a signal to the EAS. I hope that the alerts on your phone that go are enacted. And Brian, does it change the way people will read a snow warning for at least the next year or so? Right? I mean, the blizzard of 22 is the blizzard you talk about. This has knocked the blizzard of 77 out. This is the one that you're going to go back and talk about now for generations. Or at least for this generation.
For sure. We'll be back here tomorrow.
We'll be back. David Bellavia is next. He talked about this last week. I'm sure he's got more to say. Brian and I will be back tomorrow. And Stay tuned. David's next, then Tom, and Tom on WBEN.